Morning, long time no speak.
Good morning, TJ.
Well, I guess it's a good morning for us, but there's so many who are doing it tough at the moment. And I noticed that the African leaders came out yesterday and just absolutely slammed the senseless killing and the like. And I just think, you know, who carries a knife around? That's the thing.
Well, the research is very clear. If you are victim of domestic violence, if you've been attacked, your likelihood of carrying a weapon increases by 6% per incident, which kind of makes sense. There's a sense amongst the young people that if we look at everybody else and they're carrying knives, they need to as well.
Okay, so, I mean, I don't know how they come up with the figure of 6%. It's quite specific, isn't it?
Well, that's the research from the University of Hull in the UK. Mm. They found that every violent incident a young person was involved in increased the chances that they'd carry a weapon by 6%, which kind of makes sense. But we also know there are other factors. There's low trust in the police, and I think a lack of respect for the police, which I certainly didn't have when I was growing up. Don't know about you. I just was told to respect the uniform.
Well, and you feared them.
My God, you did. Yeah. But now I think there's less trust in them. I think the research also shows that if you're involved in drugs, if you've got criminal peers, if you're involved in homelessness, the risk of you being involved in knife crime increases. And I think good on the African community for coming out and naming it today, but I think we need to come up with some solutions. And I have three for you, if you're interested.
Yes, of course, always.
Okay. So the first thing is, we know that social media of Melbourne-based gang members constantly feature images of youth brandishing weapons, including machetes, and they normalise and they sanitise and they glamorise the whole idea of knife violence. When are the social media companies going to step up and do something about that? Can we get the federal government to insist that they screen those media sites and remove them? I don't think that's asking too much, do you?
No, not when you're talking about saving lives. And quite clearly, they're almost celebrating this culture of the knife-wielding thugs. So I guess if you're saying, let's remove that from social media and let's remove the celebratory, if you like, stigma that's attached to it, then you might be partway down that path of solving the problem.
So I'd love it if during your term on 3W you could talk to the federal ministers about that. That would be great. The second issue is Clark Forbes, who you'll remember in 2006, actually headed up a committee which ran a knife exchange program. And it was unbelievably successful. So they actually got the Bulldogs involved. They gave out incentives to young people to hand in knives. And Les Twentyman was involved in this. And I know he's a big fan of kickstarting that again. It's doing something. And if it was carefully prepared by the African community in association with youth workers like Les, that could be a start of getting knives off the street. What do you think?
Well, I think that's a no-brainer. Absolutely. I mean, if that's been proven to be effective, then why wouldn't you go down that path again?
Yeah, well, I mean, people have such a short history, a memory. The third idea is if you go on to Les's website, they've got a quite expensive CSA entitled Knives Trash Lives. Where is the social media on not carrying knives, the downsides of it? Why don't TikTok, who advertise on 3AW, why don't they do something, given the fact that that's such a prominent piece of social media for young people? Why don't they do something?
Yeah, so that's a community service announcement that Les has got on his site, is it?
Correct, yeah.
Yeah. And what does that depict?
Well, basically it's two blokes fighting and essentially it's a cautionary tale. So it doesn't try to scare people straight. It just raises the consciousness, which is what a good CSA should do using peers. So these are the sort of things that I think we need to do. We've got to divert kids away from this obsession with knives. We've got to obviously invest in youth organisations and extracurricular activities, and we've got to invest in police and schools programs. I talked to police media today and they were telling me that they have kick-started the police in schools movement, but it's not resourced quite to the extent that it needs to be. And that, again, I would argue is a no-brainer.
So, I mean, there will be other people listening at the moment who will say, OK, that's all very well. Well, we've tried all that, and it continues to this day. So maybe the police need to come down heavier, and as an extension of that, the courts need to act in a far more severe manner.
Well, given the fact that the Alfred Hospital, the leading trauma hospital of Victoria, says that the number of patients it treated with life-threatening stab wounds rose 50% on last year, we surely have to do something. People are dying. This is a serious social issue. So, yes, maybe we do need to look at tougher sentences and, have a bit of a crackdown. Maybe we need to give the police more powers. I don't know what Wayne Gatt would say about that, but I think it's worth a discussion.
Yeah, it certainly is. Always good to talk to you, Michael.
Thanks, mate.
Thank you, Dr. Michael Carr-Gregg, joining us there, adolescent program psychologist.